evening and welcome along to another episode of The Score here on Highland Radio. I am Mark Gallagher, and coming up a little bit later on tonight's show, we'll be hearing from Gavin Carlin and Anthony Black, two Donegal coaches in rugby and soccer that live far away from home but are bringing underage teams back to their home county this summer. We'll be hearing from those two lads shortly, but firstly we are going to talk League of Ireland football. Finarps and Derry City have both been on good runs recently, and I'm happy to say joining us on the show tonight is former Finarps captain Declan Boyle. Declan, thanks very much for joining us here on The Score.
I'm glad to be here, Mark. Thank you.
Good stuff. As always, we'll be focusing on Finharps and Derry City. It's been a great couple of weeks for both clubs. Let's start with Finharps. A home fixture against Longford Town tomorrow night, and looking to make it 3 wins on the bounce and 5 unbeaten. It's been a welcome upturn in form for Kevin McHugh's side.
Yeah, I suppose they went through a very sticky patch there a while back, so I suppose it's nice to get a positive results, and obviously that brings on confidence. You know, once you're getting results and things are going well, obviously not conceding too many goals, not scoring a lot, but keeping clean sheets and winning games, and that's what you want, you know, in order to push up the table. And obviously that also breeds confidence in the group of players as well, that they are good enough, and you know, you hope that they put in a good performance tomorrow night against Longford. You should get another 3 points as well, so that'll obviously help them close the gap between themselves and Wexford.
Yeah, things have been looking very positive. Some of the experienced players coming back from injury, the youngsters that have come in have done so well. We're seeing some movement in the transfer window. It's important to kind of keep that positive momentum going and battle when it's there.
Yeah, no, agreeing with you. You know, I suppose there was probably a stage there where, you know, there's a lot of young lads probably playing together. So, you know, lacking a wee bit of leadership, maybe from a point of view of experience. So having experienced players coming back into the squad definitely helps the younger lads, and obviously them, you've got, you know, better players as well coming back in as well, helps. And then a few signings, so you know, obviously he's targeting a few areas, and I presume there'll be more signings coming as well before the end of July, so that'll all help. So you know, it's very positive, you mentioned earlier, so I can keep that run going now. And again, you know, the idea would be for them to close the gap, and I suppose the goal will be try to get into that playoff spot if they possibly can. So you know, plenty of football to play still, but if you know, and keep the run going as long as possible, winning breeds confidence, you know, and you get a wee bit more luck too when you're winning games. So hopefully they can keep that and continue that nice roll around. You know?
So moving on to tomorrow's game against Longford, these sides have drawn twice already this season, but with Harps on the good run, there's a huge opportunity to pick up another 3 points here, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, I suppose Longford's form hasn't been great all season probably, you know, so but yeah, listen, at home, and this is the key one really for me, is at home you need to start winning games and make yourself difficult, and the performances have been good. Obviously a big result against Dundalk at home when the big one now scored the penalty. So, you know, you're hoping they can, you know, let's say keep the run going, put in a big performance tomorrow night in front of the home crowd, get a wee bit of support behind them obviously, and try to get 3 points, and, you know, can they close the gap between Wexford, as I said earlier? UCD are a few points ahead of them as well. So they're the goal and the targets probably for Kevin McHugh and his coaches and players try to go and try to get into the playoffs for the end of the year.
Yeah, in other First Division games, Leaders Dundalk, they're away to Kerry, Cove at home to Athlone Town, Wexford travel to play Bray Wanderers, and Treaty are in the capital to face UCD. I suppose with the likes of UCD playing Treaty and Bray Wanderers playing Wexford, tomorrow night's the kind of night that could see the battle for the playoffs kind of tighten up depending on how results go, and Harps will definitely be looking to get themselves back in that mix.
Yeah, I think so. You know, if they can get 3 points against Longford, then you've got UCD then after that. So that gives you an opportunity to try to close the gap again, so that's a big 6-pointer as such, and then you have the cup coming up the week after that, so they're obviously home to UCD and that, so you know, it's a wee breather from the league campaign. So yeah, there's some two big games, you know, so, and they're well capable. Obviously the games won't be easy, but they're well capable of getting 6 points out of the next two games, which is Longford and home and UCD.
Moving on to the Premier Division, and Derry City, they've found some consistency and momentum since their mid-season break. 3 wins from the last three and have moved right up the table, Declan.
Yeah, joint second the table along with Bowes. You know, Rochelle McGovern's a few points ahead as well. So their form has been really good. You know, again, similar to the Harps, not conceding many goals. You know, obviously three now result against Strada, which is a big result because Strada have been going good, really, really good. of late and are hard to play against. Very, very difficult opponents, very, very good to defend the box very well, and good at set plays. So that was a big result last week. Can they bring that form into beating Waterford? I think they should. I think of all the teams that are down in the table that I've seen so far this season, Waterford are probably, for me, the weakest team of them all. So I think Derry City can put on a big performance and get 3 points. I think the last time they played actually Waterford might have got something out of that game. So it'll not be easy, obviously, but Derry at home, you expect them to turn them over and put a bit of extra pressure onto Shamrock Rovers, who are away to Sligo Rovers on Saturday night.
Yeah, you mentioned Shamrock Rovers at the top there. These are the kind of games that if Derry are going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the year, they can't be slipping up against Waterford at home. They have to go and pick up all 3 points and try to keep the pressure on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. With the squad of players that they have and the budget that they have, for sure, they need to be one of these games at home. And that was probably very evident last year where when they came into the last six or seven games at home, they didn't get the right results and they ended up losing the league as a result of that. So you got to have your form has to be good at home, and especially coming to the crucial stage of the season, the last third of the matches, you need to make sure that your home form is good, and that's an area probably they'll be looking to address this year. But yeah, listen, as I said earlier, with the quality of players, and obviously with Michael Duffy, who's firing on all cylinders, probably been the best player in the league all season. They have him obviously on song, it'll make a big difference to them going and getting 3 points or not on Friday night.
Derry have also been doing some business in the transfer market since it opened. Tiernan Lynch has made no real secret about wanting some new faces to come in and has also said we'll be seeing some faces leave. Do you expect a lot of deals to be done in the transfer window?
Yeah, suppose, I'm thinking of Sligo Rovers have obviously signed four players, so Cork have signed three players. So you can see yourself that that's the two teams that are down near the bottom. They're fighting for that, the relegation spots. So you're thinking to yourself, so the rest of the teams will all be adding players for sure. There's no doubt about that. And it's an opportunity, obviously, for players that are not playing, maybe to get them out. And you can see that as well. Derry have done that. They brought in, I think it's three players that they've brought in so far. And they've let one or two go as well. So, if you're bringing players in, you're going to let players go as well. Or you're giving them the opportunity to go somewhere and play football, so whether on loan or not. So, yeah, listen, I don't think Derry City are going to be any different than the other team. They're all looking to strengthen in July. I know Waterford is similar as well. So, Galway have made one or two signings as well. So, it's very early yet, obviously, in July. But before the end of the season, you'll think that most teams will be happy with their squads and will have changed a few players as well.
Elsewhere tomorrow, St Pat's at home to Bowes, Shelburne play Cork City, Drogheda at home to Galway United, and the league leaders Shamrock Rovers, they don't play until Saturday when they go to the Showgrounds to face Sligo. See, in terms of the overall picture of the league, Declan, are Shamrock Rovers still catchable? And if so, are Derry the only team that are kind of capable of staying with them and making it a proper title fight that goes down to the wire?
Yeah, listen, I know there's a few games, obviously. Shams are well ahead at the minute, but they've got a couple of games advantage over some of the teams that are obviously chasing them. So they've been the best team this year so far. So it'll be I'm looking forward to seeing them tomorrow on Saturday night in Showgrounds to see what they're like. But when they have a fully fit squad of players, so they definitely for me have the best squad. Listen, it'll be interesting to see how Europe affects them as well. So Europe normally has a wee bit of effect on them. I know they played a few games in advance of Europe, so they get the rest of the weekend. But player for player, if fully fit, they're definitely the best squad of players in the league. And can they produce the form that got them the league 2 years ago? So that'll be a big chase, obviously, for Bradley and his squad of players. But yeah, listen, it's in their hands at the moment. And if they can keep the form going, they're going. They're obviously very easy and the eye as well to watch. They play attractive football. They're very exciting players and they have a great quality at the top end of the pitch that can cause all teams all sorts of problems. So, listen, for me, I think keep what they're doing, will definitely go and win the league, but it's a long way to go.
Declan, thanks very much for joining us on The Score, and I will talk to you again soon. All right, take care.
Thank you, man.
Former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle looking ahead to tomorrow night's League of Ireland fixtures for Finn Harps and Derry City. We are going to have live updates from Finn Park with Jeremy Doherty from the 7:45 kickoff tomorrow evening. So hopefully Kevin McHugh's side can keep the good form going. Well, it's time for a break here on The Score, but when we come back, we'll be hearing from Gavin Carlin and Anthony Black. Welcome back to The Score. Killy Gordon man Gavin Carlin runs a soccer academy in Florida called Good Lad Soccer, and he'll be bringing over two teams in a party of 144 to the Foyle Cup in Derry, which gets underway later this month. The talented goalkeeper was capped at under-17 level for the Republic of Ireland, but injuries effectively ended his hopes of establishing himself as a professional player cross-channel. He then moved to the United States, where he got a scholarship at Jacksonville University. There in Florida, he set up the Good Lad Soccer Academy, and from small beginnings, it has thrived to become a successful business. Highland Video's Chris Ashmore caught up with him last night and spoke to him in Florida to find out more. Chris began by asking him to cast his mind back to when he put pen to paper to join West Brom.
Gavin Carlin, many thanks for joining us on The Score this evening. This is timely that we're talking to you because it was the start of July in 2007, 18 years ago. I suppose you were realising a dream. You signed for West Bromwich Albion. We'll get to how you got to Florida in a moment, but let's just go back to those teenage days. You were going to the Hawthorns. How did that all come about?
That's right. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for having me on. Yeah, and a brilliant introduction there as well. Thank you very much for taking me back down memory lane. It's like I just said to you off air there, it's hard to believe that's 18 years ago today. I was standing on the dotted line with West Bromwich Albion, making the trip from leaving the Cross, Killy Gordon area, early that morning, heading with my father, Sean Carlin, to George Best Airport, catching the flight over to Birmingham, like I said, and meeting with Dan Ashworth, the head of FA now, and meeting with, you know, West Brom stars of yesteryear back then, played for Ireland, like Dean Kiley and Kevin Phillips and all those guys that had posters on the wall as a kid growing up. And within a few moments of signing on a dotted line, all of a sudden they go from being your icons to being your teammates.
Amazing. And I see one of your coaches was the legendary Joe Carrigan, who in his day was one of the best keepers in Britain.
That's right. I was honoured and blessed to be able to work in an environment with Joe Corrigan, obviously the famous Manchester City goalkeeper of their FA Cup winning side. So to be under the guidance of a man like that was the fact that even, you know, knew my name was a big enough one for me when I went over there. So, it was an honour to join the long lists of goalkeepers that head from the Donegal here that head across the channel. Obviously, you know yourself, everybody knows Shea Given and Paddy Bonner, and then also you have Conrad Logan, even James Gallagher there that's involved in Jim McGuinness's background staff in the GAA, as long as even Mark Boyle there that signed, was at Aston Villa a few years before me. So it was an honour to, like I said, join the goalkeeping fraternity of Donegal across the water.
So it was looking promising, but you picked up an unfortunate injury, and in many ways it meant you had to change path a bit.
That's right. So it was both a blessing and disguise, and the real, and you know, in terms of looking at it now as an adult, 18 years later, I was lucky enough to be picked by Vincent Butler to be part of the Ireland under-17 team that went to Turkey in 2008 to play in the under-17 European Championships. And when I was training over there, I picked up a little niggly knee injury, and this knee injury kept nagging and nagging. And all of a sudden, when I went back to pre-season training for my second year at West Brom, the knee totally gave out on me. And over there, it's a dog-eat-dog environment. You have to stay injury-free. First 2 years that I was over there, you have to be injury free for the first 5 years and get yourself in the first team picture. So heartbreaking at the time, and but again, you know, I wouldn't change it, because now I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you from sunny Florida, looking out the window there, 25 degree weather, about to go out and coaching it, and the life that has given me, the pathway that has put me on. You know, like I said, that old saying, a blessing in disguise, it well and truly was.
Yeah, so you went to college, then you got a scholarship over at Jacksonville University. And when did you sort of think about, obviously the soccer was still very much to the forefront of your mind, but so tell me a little bit about Good Lad Soccer and how it all started over there.
After I left West Brom, I had a choice to either go up to St Mirren in Scotland, and it was to sit on the bench up there was one of the options, or go to Forest Green Rovers, who were in the conference at the time, to try to play first team games. Went there, and same old, same old. You know, you can nearly write the script itself. I picked up an injury, and all of a sudden, by the time you come back, you're not only second, you're third choice keeper at a conference club, and then you really are up the creek without a paddle. So I'll never forget it. It was around the Christmas time of 2010, just turned into 2011. I got an email from Jacksonville University, the coach over here, by the name of Mike Johnson, and the title of the email, I'll never forget it to the day I die, was, "Would you like to come play in Florida?" Question mark. And, you know, for an email for a guy from the Cross, Kelly Gordon, to get an email like that, I was saying yes, even before I read the fine print. So, so fast forward a few months, you're landing in Florida, the heat index of, you know, heat and humidity, 35 degrees, 100 degrees, the temperature over here in Florida. I thought, I won't be here for long. I'll do a semester and then I'll head on, maybe try my hand playing in Australia or New Zealand. And like I said, 14 years later, I'm sitting here on a Zoom call talking with you, setting up Good Lad Soccer Academy. And as for the growth and as for the me soccer academy, Good Lad Soccer being born, it totally just came by chance that I started coaching at one of the local clubs here in Jacksonville. And I just seen there's a real opening in the market in a city of Jacksonville of over 1.5 million people for kids that were like myself growing up in the Cross, Kelly Gordon area, that were serious and intense about taking their game to the next level. And I thought, I have all this crazy experience from playing from Ireland, playing at West Brom, and why not, you know, hand on my knowledge and pass on my expertise to the next generation. And lucky enough, I'm blessed to say, it's gone from strength to strength.
Indeed it has. And now you're looking forward to what's going to be a great occasion for an awful lot of people. You're going to be bringing two teams from Florida over to Derry for the Foyle Cup. And of course, it all begins with the big Foyle Cup parade on Monday, July the 21st, something in the region of 900 teams. So what's the expectations amongst the players that you're bringing over? Have they any idea of what to expect?
So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing the most. And it really is going to be the clash of two worlds. You know, seeing kids coming here from Northeast Florida, where I'm based, taking them over there to the heart of to the heart of Derry and compete against the best of the best of the both Northern Ireland and the Republic and the greater UK. But the standard here in Florida has got nothing but gone from strength to strength here ever in my time since 2011 onwards. So make no bones about it. You know, I'm bringing, like any Americans there, Americans like to win, no matter if it's young or old. I'll be taking them over there with two teams expecting to go all the way and take the Foyle Cup back across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. So it's a boys' team and a girls' team.
That's right. The boys' team consists of players born in 2013 and 2014. And then the girls' team, they consist of girls being were born in 2011 and 2013. And majority of those players would play what's called the MLS Next Academy here. So there would be the kids that would feed into their feeder program of the junior academies of the teams in the MLS, the Major League Soccer here, the top league in America. So you're taking over the kids that are the 1% for their age here in Jacksonville and the surrounding area. So it's a talented crew I'm taking over, and obviously to cover that expense and to cover that endeavor, you know, these kids they are serious about what they do.
And do any of them have Irish connections? Have any of them been over here before?
No, not out of the traveling party. Like I said, I'm taking 25 players, 144 people in total when you factor in siblings and grandparents' parents. So, none of them have ever been to Ireland. So I'm delighted to say that I'm, you know, doing my bit for the Irish Tourism Board and Visit Derry as well. So a shout out to those guys. Obviously, a lot on the team have Irish heritage. It would be... Obviously, now that I'm dealing with kids that age, it'll be great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents.
And tell us a little bit more just about Good Lad Soccer. You're based in Jacksonville, which I didn't realise was actually, it's the biggest city in Florida. So give us an idea of the scale of Good Lad Soccer. How many teams would there be? What sort of tournaments are you in? What's the structure during the year?
Yeah, so Good Lad Soccer, like I said, like you nailed it in the head there. It's we're based in Jacksonville, Florida. That's located in Northeast Florida. We're about 2 hours north of Orlando, just below the Florida-Georgia border. A city of 1.5 million people. But speaking for Good Lad Soccer, what started out with a stack of cones and a couple of balls and a backpack is now growing to an organization. Over 1,000 players have passed through our doors since we started business in 2016. We run the largest indoor soccer camps here in Jacksonville. Obviously, during the summer months, it's a bit like the winter, as you can imagine, the listeners can imagine, back in Donegal, rather than the cold, wet, miserable, we have the extreme heat and humidity. So everything has to really be moved indoors during June, July, August. So we move all our training indoors, and we're lucky to say we run the largest indoor soccer camps in the north of Florida. Also run three-on-three competitions. Regularly have bring over 100, 150 teams to those. And now we've added another feather to the cap of bringing the teams now on international trips across the water. And throughout the year, the real bread and butter of the company would be private group training. That's for players that, you know, they come to me, that they want to be on the top team for their age. They want to consistently stay in the 1%. They want to go and play within the college structure, and they want to go on and play in the MLS and maybe even chance their arm of getting across to Europe. They come and do the extra training along with me. And like I said, from starting out with a stack of cones, two balls, like I said, it's grown to the size of an organization that was far beyond my imagination back in 2016.
And how many coaches and people would be involved in the whole business?
It varies from, depends on the busyness for the time of year, but typically we have 9 to 10 coaches would help me coach throughout the year. Obviously, I'm the head of it, so it starts and stops with me, but I typically have 9 to 10 staff members working underneath me throughout the year, and mix of players that have played at collegiate level, professional level themselves, alongside then obviously coaches that coach the local club teams here, and also the college soccer as well. So it's a real good mix of both men and women that helped me run this an organization of this size.
And just rounding things off, Gavin, you know, sometimes here on this side of the Atlantic, we wonder just what the interest in soccer is like in America. In Florida, just how big is the game of soccer? It is on an upward trajectory.
Yeah, one answer to that question would be huge. Huge would be the answer. It's I know it's when you're in Ireland looking across at America, you automatically think of American football, you think of baseball, you think of basketball, but youth soccer here in America, it's a $1 billion industry, and you know, 80% of the kids here in America, and that's 80% of millions of people play soccer at some level of some kind between the ages of 7 to 12. When I first landed here in America in 2011, you could barely see a game on TV. It was ever since, you know, the broadcaster NBC started full-time with the Premier League on Saturday mornings. Football, as they call it back home in Donegal, has really blown from strength to strength. And that's really been capped off with Lionel Messi joining Inter Miami here in Florida within the last year. And it's taken the game to another stratosphere. And when you factor in the success of women's soccer and the women's national team on the World Cup, on the world stage, it does nothing but help grow the game.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck in the Foyle Cup, and we appreciate you coming in from the warm sunshine there in North Florida to chat to us this evening. Finally, Gavin, just projecting maybe 5-10 years ahead, what would your ambitions be in terms of developing the whole good lad soccer business?
I get asked this question a lot, and that old saying, I always say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So we're going to keep on keeping on. We're just going to add maybe more teams to the Fall Cup. Maybe next year we're going to try to target bringing 4 teams. And also we have one eye on the Gothia Cup in Sweden as well. Maybe adding a couple more international tournaments, maybe in the UK. It's been a fantastic last 9 years. And any of the listeners of the SCORE program that want to listen in, that are listening in tonight, check us out, Good Lad Soccer, on Instagram, on Facebook, and you can follow our journey on there and see us go from strength to strength over the next few years.
That was Highland's Chris Ashmore speaking with Gavin Carlin. Well, Letterkenny native Anthony Black is a former player with Letterkenny Rugby Club. Nowadays, he lives in Calgary in Western Canada, where he is involved in coaching with his local rugby club. In August, Calgary Irish Rugby Club's under-18 girls team will be coming to the Northwest and will be based in Donegal for a 3-match tour that will see games against Enniskillen, Ophir just outside Belfast, and then finally at Dave Gallagher Park in Letterkenny. Chris spoke to Black about the club in Calgary and the upcoming tour.
Anthony, many thanks for joining us from Calgary in Canada. First of all, before we talk about the forthcoming tour here in Letterkenny involving your club over there, how is it that a man from Letterkenny has ended up in Calgary in Canada? Tell us the journey to get there.
The journey to get here, that's quite the journey, all right. I suppose back 2014, just got to the point where I just needed a change of scenery. Work was fairly scarce, and just started to kind of look around between the States here and Canada. And yeah, just thought I'd give Canada a try, and here we are 11 years later. We're still here.
Now, as you said to me before we came on air, one of the first things people often do when they go to pastures new, particularly if they have a sporting background, is to look up the local club. So you came across the rugby club there in Calgary, and the name, the official name, I'll let you tell our listeners what it's actually called.
Yeah, well, as everybody knows it, it's the Calgary Irish Rugby Club, but the official name is the Calgary Irish Canadian Athletic Club. Yeah, you mentioned clubs there. I suppose when you come away from home or whatever and you play sport, back home, the first thing you do is you look for a club in your sport. So that's pretty much what I did. And I was pointed in the direction of the Calgary Irish and sure thought, well, we'll give it a go. So we got the young fella started in it. He started in junior rugby. So he started in it first. He was going there for a few years. And now he plays senior rugby. And then my daughter got involved, and she's still playing, and she's actually part of the team that's coming over in Ireland in August, the U18 girls, which is the team that I coach at the minute. So, but yeah, and then I started playing there myself, and lo and behold, we're still at it. So we're still kicking on in the club.
Now, what are the rugby structures like in Canada, a country of which is so vast? I presume you're in some sort of regional league that you don't have too much travel.
No, travel wouldn't be too much. You're probably looking about, depending if you go on a bit of a tour, you're probably looking at about, for our league anyway, you're looking about 3 hour drive would be the furthest. Obviously, we don't get to play all year round over here either because of the weather. Obviously, you can't play rugby in minus 30 here. So it's a pretty short season, not like back home where they play pretty much all year round. So it's hard to get all that rugby in such a short time. Rather, if you were playing back home, you're playing all year round. You're training a lot more on the outside, which is great. So you make the most of it while it's here for sure and try and stay injury free.
Rugby in Canada, are there parts of the country that it's more popular than others? Is Calgary an area where it is, you know, one of the bigger sports, or is it a minority sport?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't say it's the biggest sport for sure. But if you go to places like BC there where they play all year round, you tend to get a lot more talent, a lot more experience out that direction, which we have gone and competed out there quite a few times now. So they get to play all year round. They get a lot more experience in the rugby, a lot more clubs out there. And you get a lot of international players that will head that direction as well to play rugby. So, yeah, that's where we have a slight bit of disadvantage here, is where the weather kind of kills us in around the winter time. So, but you just go indoor and you just train as much as you can indoor for the next season when it comes around again.
And in terms of facilities, do you ground share with other sports? The ground where you play, is it just for rugby, or do different sports use it?
Oh, no, different sports use it for our ground. So our club in Calgary at the minute is the only club that has a clubhouse itself. And we have two main pitches as well. Yeah, we've got the full set up there, pretty much like Letterkenny Rugby Club there. Same kind of idea. As I say, we're the only club in Calgary City that has our own clubhouse. So, yeah, we get different sports using our grounds, like the soccer. We actually get some of the baseball guys use it as well. So, but, yeah, it's great to have that facility, and it's nice and handy from where we're living, so we don't need to travel too far. So, yeah, it's pretty good now. The clubhouse is a great setup.
And the history of the Calgary club over there, is it an old club?
Yeah, it is. It's 50-plus years, yeah. 50 plus years. So at the minute, we've got a president and vice president that's actually from Ireland. One's from Belfast and one's from Donegal. So they've been living here, I think, 40 plus years themselves. And they're a huge part of the club, all ex-rugby players as well. They played for Calgary Irish when they came here. So, yeah, two good fellas running the club there. A Belfast man and a Donegal man. So it's all good.
And the actual players in the club, you don't have to be Irish to be a member of the club, I take it, but are there a lot of Irish or are there a lot of foreign people? Is it Canadians? What sort of mix do you have?
Oh, we've got a mix of everything in this club, yeah. Irish, Scottish, English. We've got some Kiwis, some Fijians. Yeah, a lot of Canadian guys in there too. So we've got quite the mix for sure. So we got a French boy in there as well. So yeah, it's a good mix.
And speaking of French, in the French-speaking parts of Canada, would rugby be more popular there?
I don't think so. I don't think you get a hell of a lot of rugby over that direction. No. So, yeah, I'm not too familiar with over that direction in terms of what would be big in terms of sport, but I do know rugby wouldn't be massive over there.
So you're coming over to Letterkenny. When did you first think about it being organised?
Oh, I've had this idea in my head for probably 2 years. We just got to the point whenever I took over the girls program here in the club quite a few years ago. And most of the girls that I have at the minute, I've had them from a young age. So through the years, we just seem to keep winning. The past couple of years, 3 years in a row now, they're city champions. They won provincials last year. We did go and compete in BC there as well last year, and I think the year before. We had a winning streak there as well. So I just kind of thought 2 years ago in my head, I thought it'd be a great idea if I could manage to, you know, take the team home and get a different level of rugby. Be a good opportunity for the girls. So I said to myself, I'll give it another season to see how the girls do. If we win all next season, then I don't have any excuse. And then I have to go and organize it then. So, and sure enough, we went on and we won everything. And here we are. I thought, well, let's get this tour on the way. So I started last October planning this tour, and we are now probably 5-6 weeks out. So it goes pretty fast.
Indeed. And the makeup of the squad, are there other people with Donegal connections?
Just my daughter is the only one from home. Everybody else is from here. Yeah, I've just got one local one coming, and the rest are all have never been in Ireland before. So there's all together in the tour, there's about 50 people coming on the 14th of August.
So you're going to be based in Letterkenny, and you have a number of matches lined up.
Yeah, we're going to be based in Letterkenny, staying out in the Mount Errigal. Two games are away games. One is in Askillen, and then we're travelling further afield to Ophir. And then the last game of the tour is the Friday before we leave, and that's down in Letterkenny. So we managed to fit three games in, so we're all good to go on the three.
And your own club, what's the breakdown in terms of male and female teams?
We got a good women's program and men's program. I think the women's have two teams there. The men, they're sitting with two teams at the minute, and we've got a pretty good junior program from the ages of, 5 up to 18. So between 16s, 18s, 15s, right down to 10s. Yeah, there's a pretty good junior program as well in the go. So a lot of interest, and it's growing every year, which is great.
Now, of course, it takes money to run any club. No doubt you have various fundraising activities, but what about state support and local corporate support? Is there much there?
You do. I mean, you get your typical grants here and there. Obviously, you look into sponsorship to keep a club going. And within the club as well, all the different programs do their own bits of sponsorship, you know, to help the club along. Because, as you say, there is a cost to running a club. So, yeah, we do fundraiser nights. We do different other things like casino nights where it's worth quite a bit of money to the club as well. So that keeps it going, picking over nicely. We just all chip in as much as we can and help out with fundraising just to keep things afloat. So pretty much what you would do in most clubs anyway, just to help them out.
And as a former player here in Letterkenny, no doubt you'll be looking forward to going to Dave Gallagher Park and seeing a few old faces.
Oh, for sure, 100%. Yeah, there's a lot of faces I haven't seen in a while. One of the coaches I'm up against, Colly Farrell. I used to play with Colly quite a few years ago, so he'll be standing on the other side of the pitch while I'm there in August. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Colly was a great player back in his day, and I'm sure he's for sure a damn good coach as well. So I'm looking forward to that for sure.
And when you forge links like this between clubs, who knows what it may lead to in the years to come?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the point of it as well. It gives these girls an opportunity. It might open a few doors for them. Who knows who they'll end up meeting, who they'll talk to. you know, they might want to take a year out of their schooling. They might want to travel to Europe. They might end up in Letterkenny playing rugby. Who knows? That's part of the tour as well, to try and give the girls a wee bit of a eye opener to see what's around, you know. So which is good. So it's good to get that opportunity to do that for them as well. So,
and for players who are particularly good and who stand out in Calgary, what's the pathway like in Canada if you want to sort of go up through the different levels of rugby?
The Irish club has had multiple players, previous and present, for Canada, and on the male and female end. So you've got your typical things. I mean, you play your club rugby, you got your high school rugby, your club rugby, and then after that there's rep rugby as well. So you know, you can be noticed. There's lots of scouts that go to different games all over the place, university scouts as well. They take a liking to you, you'll get an offer for a university. Or, you know, there's, like I said, there's rep rugby as well. There's two steps of rep rugby, which is the Mavericks, and then you jump up again to the Wolfpack. So there is quite a few levels now.
And would there be a general feeling that rugby in Canada is on the up at the moment?
I think it is, yeah. I certainly think the women's rugby is actually more popular at the minute here than men's rugby. So women's rugby is growing massively. So it's good to see the interest is growing every year on the women's rugby. So there's a hell of a lot of talented players, not just within our own club, but different other clubs around the city here. So, you know, we get to compete with them every week now that our season's just started. So, but yeah, it's good. Different clubs around the city has some serious talent, and it's great to get out there and compete with them, for sure.
And finally, just the give us the dates for your games here in the Northwest.
So we leave here on the 14th of August. We arrive in Letterkenny on the 15th. The following day is the 16th. We head to Enniskillen, and we play Enniskillen that evening. We're off for 3 days, which will take us into Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So on the Tuesday, we head to Ophir. That is the 19th. And then the Friday after that, which is the 22nd, that's a Letterkenny game. We play Letterkenny. So we're just hoping to get as many people as we can from the town down to watch these girls. At the end of the day, we're taking 50 Canadians to Letterkenny, so we'd like to show them what Letterkenny's all about and show a bit of different culture to them as well. So looking forward to that.
Chris Ashmore in conversation with Letterkenny native Anthony Black. Now it's time to have a look ahead to the weekend's sporting action, and it's a busy one on the Gaelic Games front. Tomorrow night, the Donegal Hurling Championships continue. In the Senior Championship, Buncrana play Sean McCool's. St Union's host Karen Donna and Burt play Setanta. In the Intermediate and Junior Championship, it's also Setanta up against Burt. Letterkenny play Irua Ballyshannon, and Four Masters welcome Dunlow. On to the football, and there are three games on Sunday in Division 1 of the All-County League. Niamh Connell go to the Bridge to play St Michael's. Downings are at home to Gidore, and Termon have a home game against Buncrana. In Division 2, St Noll's play Fan at Gales. Ardragh play Dunlow. It's Milford against Bundoran, and Clonhilly go to Muff to play Niamh Padraig. And in Division 3, it is Red Hughes against Burt. Urris face Robert Emmets. Niamh Alton play Niamh Columkill. Niamh Padraig Lifford play Moville. Narrossa welcome Pettigo, and Niamh Breach are at home to Letterkenny Gales. On the ladies' front, the Donegal ladies' team are in action on Saturday afternoon in the All-Ireland Senior Championship relegation qualifier against Armagh. That game has a 2 o'clock throw-in in Stewartstown in County Tyrone. The big game in terms of underage football takes place on Sunday in Newbridge. Tyrone will be looking to add to their under-20 title as they face Kerry in the All-Ireland Minor Football Final at 1:30. In athletics, the National Under-20 and Under-23 Track and Field Championships are on over the weekend in Tullamore and County Offaly. And it's the first weekend of National Finals at the Community Games. Kilkenny will host this year's finals, and 44 children from Donegal are competing in swimming, gymnastics and quiz, all of course with the hope of winning medals. Plenty of cricket action this weekend as well, with the Fahan Cup Valley T20 final taking centre stage on Sunday, with Brigade playing New Buildings, and there's also a host of games across the Northwest Premier League over the weekend. Finally, in boxing, the National Under-19 Championships will get underway in Dublin on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and among the Donegal boxers taking part are Kerry Brown of Convoy, David Tennyson of Derryvay, Kevin Connolly of Twin Towns and Gary McNamara of Riffle. That's about it from me on The Score this evening. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and if you've missed any of tonight's show, you'll be able to listen back very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.